I know probably. That, but like I, it's just full of
small schools.
That looks like Peyton Manning, I think, and the Colts thing. It's not.
I'd like
just because they have a long. He has a long neck.
I wish he'd come coach.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what's? I don't know. I've been thinking of trying to things to say to make y'all feel a little better. So I sent a meme. Maybe that makes you feel better. A Simpsons meme. And look at it this way. You know, last year you'd had to come talk to Derek about getting smoked by his team like I have to. To talk to, well, yeah. So at least you don't have to talk to a Georgia fan.
Hey, we both got beat bad by Georgia, so.
Yeah.
I'd like to misery loves company.
I'd like to start off by apologizing to Stetson Bennett.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
The accountant.
Yeah.
Just running up the scoreboard.
Yeah.
How about that play in the first quarter where he just outruns our corner on a blitz and takes it to the pylon, beats our linebackers on a foot race?
Yeah. If you showed me the headshots of Georgia's four best players, I'm like, I want them to do my taxes. Yeah. Like, they're not going to beat me in a football game. They can, you know, give me consulting on my taxes. Just their headshots. Like, I know Bowers is like 6'9".
Yeah.
But, like, from his shoulders up, it's like, they don't scare me. Stetson Bennett, you know, he don't scare me. And then he plays, and you're like, okay, maybe he does scare
yeah.
me.
Yeah. I didn't think he could make those type of plays against SEC defenses, but he did.
All right. Shop Talk is back. First time this week, or first time this year, we were coming off a Tennessee loss and a Florida win. Not to rub it in, but I mean, we did kind of win.
It did happen.
We did beat a team that, you know, was all out with the flu. So I'm not bragging or anything. I'm just saying.
Well,
I don't know. It's a crazy. Let's put it this way. When my team loses a game like that, if it's a big game, like obviously Florida loses all the time now, but back when they used to play big games and then they would lose a big game, it always helps when there's things that happen, like there's more chaos in the weekend of college football, so not everything's focused on you. That year Florida lost to LSU in the it was in Gainesville, but it was right before the SEC championship game. It didn't mean technically anything except for playoff implications. Anyway, it was the biggest upset of the week, and it just makes it worse. But at least this weekend, this game was such a big game, but then there was also a lot of other crazy games this weekend that happened, like some other upsets.
It was the biggest game of the week, but really it wasn't the most important game of the week.
Yeah.
Like, really, the Clemson-Notre Dame game probably has more...
It has
more to do with who's going to make the playoffs.
Well, yeah. And the LSU beating Bama takes Bama out now. Exactly. I mean, that's two teams knocked out of the playoffs, essentially, I feel like.
And just from a news and attention standpoint, Bama losing because of what you said makes the attention – like, yeah, the Tennessee game ended up not having – as much implication as we thought it may have just based on the way everything else. So now there's a lot of attention towards other games. And it's not like, oh, did you see Tennessee again? You're like, I always like that. Like, show me some upsets so that we can kind of get buried in the news a little bit. But I don't know. You know, Georgia ends up winning. Dude, they're a good football team. And I know that in college, it's very much don't show me what happened last year. Like, what's new and shiny this year? But sometimes we're reminded that, like, elite teams are elite teams for a reason. And that's kind of what it looked like Saturday. You know, they're just really good. They had some slip ups with Missouri and I guess Kent State. That's a good football team.
It is. And the score, obviously, if you watch that game, the score, it was not a 14-point game the whole time. I mean, they dominated from the beginning to the end. But I guess on paper, at the end of the year, that 14 points looks a lot better than it really was. But
they forget that
it's never close.
Yeah, they'll look at it on paper. I agree on both sides of that. But do you think you were more surprised? Because we all picked Tennessee to win, not because I don't think Georgia's, not for me personally, it wasn't because I think Georgia's not good, clearly. it was just because I think, like, I don't know, just Tennessee had a lot of momentum. They hadn't been stopped on offense, and so there was a little bit of that, and there was just a little bit of, like, you know, that was the latest shiny thing for me, too. Mm-hmm. But do you think it was the defense, what was more surprise? What side of the ball was more surprising to you? Because Georgia's offense isn't a juggernaut. Mm-hmm. Now, it did look like a juggernaut against a couple of teams, one being Oregon and even Florida. But they seem to have their way with Tennessee's defense, although Tennessee's defense hasn't – I mean, that's not the side of the ball in which we thought was elite for that team anyway, so.
And Tennessee gave up 28 points. I mean
– 27.
Okay, 27 points. We before going into the game, we kind of felt like that was what mm-hmm. Georgia would get. I mean, we all kind of yeah. picked them to be around 30 points in that area. So I wasn't as upset with our defense as I was – the offensive side of the ball, and I just think that, like, I don't know what really went wrong other than the, you know, Hendon did not play. Yeah, I mean, Hendon that I could count missed three balls that were deep balls that we've been hitting all year long, three to four balls. And then when they grade out Tennessee's players by position, nobody even graded above like a 75. For them. I mean, like, our offensive line was not up to par or the way they've been playing. Our, you know, quarterback just struggled. And
it was, yeah.
I mean, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's like a mm-hmm. professional pitcher. You could be Nolan Ryan. You're going to lose a few games mm-hmm. during the course of the year. And you're
not going to have your stuff every game.
And sometimes we in a game like this, we were not the more talented team.
No.
We weren't able to make up those deficits where we were the more talented team in some of these other games, I feel mm-hmm. like.
Yeah, I think that there's, you know, Tyler and I talked about this a little bit earlier in the day, but when you're talking about a program that's had years to develop and that's a championship-level program that's recruited championship-level players for 6 years, you know, they're in their sixth year with their current coach. Mm-hmm. That, you know, we don't have that kind of depth. Now we have, you know, our starters on offense are real, you know, are, I feel like, are really strong. They have the ability to go out there and put up points, but they have to be playing on point. And to Georgia's credit, their defense, you know, they took away or tried to take away what we do well, which is the explosive plays, and they were willing to give up the short stuff, which is what we were taking for a while, but it's like we just got tired of taking that. Or when you're taking the short stuff and you have one bad play or you have multiple penalties. Yeah. That's what killed us, you know, like to Georgia's credit, their fan base, which you knew was going to be rocking. I mean, these are the advantages we had against Alabama. You know, Alabama and Florida, of, you know, creating those penalties through, you know, your fans being super loud and just, you know, being at home. There's mm-hmm. obviously you just have a better feel for everything. We hurt ourselves with tons of false start penalties. In really, like, in the first half, we had a number of false start penalties at the beginning of drives, which led to punts. And then we also had false start penalties when we're in the red zone that took us from like a third and two to a two in a row to a third and 12 when we're trying to punch the ball into the end zone. Just things you can't do and expect to win a game on the road against a really good opponent. So that, you know, the penalties, and then, like you said, Hooker just didn't have – we threw five deep balls that I can remember. One was the interception. The other four were all overthrown, and three of those four were, I mean, open. Two of them were touchdowns. Yeah. You know, and Hendon hadn't hit every one of those, but he's hit about 50% of them, and he was over. Yeah. So,
I look at championship teams, two things. One, I look at championship teams as kind of like they have a foundation to them that you can't always see in, like, above the surface, like shiny, fast, you know, like lots of point, like all that stuff's fun to watch above the surface, but there's championship teams have a foundation built to them that's like that we as fans can't see as much. It's a mentality that like third string guys who are five stars have of winning culture that they're used to. They've been through and won a national championship. Like that creates a foundation in a team that we can't always see until the lights are like, we need your best. This game, your best. You're not playing Missouri at noon. You know, you're not playing Kent State. This is where you need your best. And I think those elite teams, that's where the difference between that and the teams that haven't gotten there yet. I'm not saying Tennessee's not necessarily elite. I'm just saying they haven't built that foundation yet. No one expects them to. It's year two. And they, you know, they're clearly on their way. I'm just saying they don't, that where the lights have, you know, shining on a big game, they don't have it quite yet. But, and that's where Georgia does, dude. They're just good. Like their third stringers are five stars.
If you compare the two games and what you're saying there too makes a lot of sense to me. Like when we had Alabama down, they still had those dudes that, you know, they have that mindset of we're going to win this game. Mm-hmm. We may be down 17 points. We're going to win this game. Mm-hmm. I don't think Tennessee gave up by any stretch of the imagination, but I understand what you're saying. There's some of those guys in the locker room that you don't have to turn to look. They just all know we're coming.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the differences is, too, like, you could, yeah, so the counterpoint to what I was saying is, well, they beat Alabama. Alabama's elite team. Yes, but also Alabama, we've seen some holes.
And they had Alabama at home. Exactly. Alabama was facing what Tennessee had to face at Georgia. Yeah. They weren't ready for that.
And that is a big difference, home and away. But also, I do think a team like Tennessee, if they force us somehow get in a shootout with Georgia, I think they beat Georgia in a shootout. Mm. The difference is Georgia was able to make you play their game, and you're not going to beat them at that. Tennessee's just not at that level. The elite, like, yeah, they can beat Alabama in a shootout because that's kind of how they're a fast-paced sports car that, you know, if they're going, they're going. But it's when they have a couple pit stops and you got to change a couple things, like you get them a little bit off course, like in a sprint, like we've talked about all year. That's the difference. Now, I'm not by any stretch saying they're not going to be there. That's just the road. This is the progressional road to being elite like Georgia that Tennessee's more in the early stages of.
Well, and the stage may get bigger for Tennessee, but I don't think that anywhere they play, even if they go in the first round of the playoffs, so they make the playoffs and they're playing in Atlanta against Georgia. I know it's in Georgia, but Tennessee will have 50% of those tickets for that game.
They'll be there.
And they'll cover it. So I don't think that we're going to see that type of environment again going forward to a point where you can't hear yourself think.
No.
And we didn't take advantage of it. But going in, like you said, it's something that Tennessee has to build off of. Well, thank goodness for once, Tennessee may have an opportunity to build off of it in the same year.
Yeah,
possibly.
Because of the way things are playing out.
Yeah, so all in all, you know, they 27-13, Cole, like you said, I agree. I don't think it was – I'm not happy about it, but I just being honest, I don't think it was that necessarily close of a game.
27-13 feels like we're sugarcoating it. And
yeah.
It was more like a 30-10 game.
And even though Georgia only scored 27, I do think, like, their first half – I was telling Clark this. I think – Georgia plays in a way to where, like, I don't want to say they're so good they just turn up the dial whenever they need to, but a little bit of that has to factor into their play calling, right? So if they're up 27-6,
agreed,
they're not going to press the dial to max like they were in that first half from a play calling standpoint.
They were shortening the game.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're not playing hard. They're playing just as hard, if not harder. I'm saying
they're going to run the ball.
You dial back the risk.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, McConkey on they're not looking for that.
Stetson is good. He's very good, but he is prone to mistakes. And so, I mean,
and
once they had the lead, why allow that to happen?
He made that. He hit Jeremy Banks right in the hands on that first possession. Yeah. They end up getting a turnover anyway. But
yeah, I mean, so they're up three touchdowns, and they are obviously, you know, we're not being able to move the ball, so they're going to eat as much clock as they can and run the ball. And
I hate to give him credit because I can't stand him, but Kirby coached a heck of a football game. He had them prepared for that offense. He figured out what game he wanted to play, and he controlled the game.
You know,
did a great job.
I don't want to be that guy, especially as a Florida fan. I know how this comes off, but I really don't mean it as that. I just do think that this is – I think in order for Tennessee to be elite, if you say in 2 years they're going to be where Georgia is, best team in the country, fine, I believe you. Okay, I get it. But in order for that to happen, these games have to happen. They have to get out game planned, and they got out game planned. They have to get out coached in game decision making. They absolutely did. Then they have to get out played, and they got all three of those. Like that game plan, like Kirby, say what you. I mean, as a Florida fan, listen, Florida fans don't love him either. But the dude knows his. Like he had an elite game plan going into that game, and that's what you saw. Now the next time they play, I don't know. Hopple may have something dialed up that changes it completely, but in this game, he did. He had a lot of it. I wouldn't say was won before the game started, but a lot of the work was done before the game started in the game plan, I believe.
The good thing about it is, or one good thing about it, I feel like, is that we still have an opportunity. There's still a chance to potentially make the playoffs. I know it's not in our hands anymore, but what is in our hands is the opportunity to go out for the next 3 weeks and really put on a show and come back from a tough loss. So, you know, how do you handle adversity? And we've got three games that we should win, and we need to win them convincingly to help our chances of potentially sneaking in to, you know, to the playoffs.
If you had to make, if you had to like choose the outcomes of all the, maybe not all, you'd have chose some different lanes, but for a couple of the games that you could choose the outcomes to make Tennessee's path, to open that path back up again, or like in the Simpsons meme, how that guy come back around the corner again, that happened. That's the good thing about it. Clemson lost. Alabama lost.
Mm-hmm.
Does the BCS come out tonight?
You mean the playoffs?
Tuesday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tuesday, okay.
I think it's.
So, I mean, it just depends where we fall. I would imagine we're at 5 in that.
4 or 5.
So, I mean,
we won't be 4 at all.
I don't know. The reason you are 1 is because of how many good teams you've beat. And then now you've got 1 loss to the best team in the country. There's a case that could be made that they're going to be above TCU and even Michigan. I don't think they will be above Michigan because people will riot. But
I think they'll probably have us at 5 behind. Yeah. They'll have Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, TCU, and then hopefully us.
You'll definitely be the first 1-loss team. Yeah. There's no question you should be there.
But Oregon is... Yeah,
Oregon would be behind us. The argument there's no way Oregon's they're looking be better right now, but they don't have that LSU or Alabama victory that we have.
The difference, in my opinion, we can get into this a little bit later, but you don't want Tennessee 1-loss, Oregon 1-loss to be going against each other. You'll lose that one. Not saying you should. I would still vote that Tennessee's a better team. I'm saying a Pac-12 championship with 1-loss versus a SEC team that did not get into the – now – if Oregon's 2 or 3, if you're not going up against Oregon, you know what I'm saying? That's one thing. But if it's between Tennessee and Oregon and they both only have 1 loss, which means Oregon will have won the Pac-12 championship, I don't know if Tennessee's going to win that one.
Yeah. I just wonder, like, you at some point you have to look at their wins. Their biggest
I'm not saying I agree with it.
Yeah.
Well, I just here's the don't thing you think know. Ohio State and Michigan play each other the last game of the season. One of those teams is going to lose, and they're not going to be able to play for their conference championship either.
Yeah. No, you'll
so that one of them will be out.
One of them will have a 1-loss.
They'll be just like us. Yeah, they'll be just like us, essentially.
And there's no guarantee that TCU wins out either.
Yeah, they play Texas this week at Texas.
TCU will be – like, I'm just assuming they're just going to slip up and lose something. They don't worry me too much. But anyway – let's wrap up the other games, and then we can talk to playoff stuff. So, let's see. Florida, Texas A&M. Listen, I know if you're a Texas A&M fan, you're like, oh, we had everybody out with the flu. Yeah, I know. I get it. But listen, this is college football. Alabama never gets a pass when they have half their guys out or they're, you know, the elite team. When you recruit at an elite level, a lot of times your excuses kind of get taken away from you. And Texas A&M had the best recruiting class of all time. So you know, you miss a couple guys with the flu, you should be plugging guys in, you know. So I'm not saying that I value the Florida win over Texas A&M like I would if they were completely healthy, but it's better than losing to them. So,
well, not only that, but Jimbo's made it very clear that he and Saban don't get along. So that dominated the preseason, them bickering back and forth. So you expect him to be around and prove it on the field, and then with his one SEC win, now he kind of looks like a clown.
Man, he was frustrated too. That offense. So just the game summary. I know y'all probably didn't watch too much of the second half or the end, but Florida was able to shut him out in the second half. The first half, I was really worried. We went into the half down 24-20. Like the meme I sent you, I felt like this was just going to be – AR was going to have a game that he was going to be like, screw this. I'm with this type of game. It's like that's the type of Anthony Richardson game where you're like, well, maybe he could leave for the NFL. And then the next game he'll have, I'm like, he's not going to be ready for the NFL. So it goes back and forth. This was the high, and he was good. It was the best game I've seen him play outside of maybe the last year's LSU game. But, man, he was really, really good. Florida was also missing Justin Shorter, their best receiver. Brenton Cox got kicked off the team. So we were without a couple guys as well. Not saying it was at the same level that Texas A&M was. But they pitched a shutout in the second half. They really had three opportunities to make it a, 28-point game, I guess. But came away empty-handed twice within the 10. And then finally we were able to punch it in the last time to make it a 17-point game. So is a good win for Florida. It's better, like I said, better than a loss. You get a SEC win on the road. Your quarterback plays good. Your defense plays a pitch a shutout in the second half.
Florida almost rushed for 300 yards.
Yeah. Well, Richardson had like...
He had 78.
Well, 60 was
ETN on one play. ETN had 80. Johnson had 100. And I don't even know. Purcell?
Yeah, Ricky Purcell.
Yeah, he had 34 on three carries.
He's a receiver he got. This is the white kid, the end of round. He's got a couple. He had a couple end of rounds.
Three of them, obviously. Yeah. Got averaged 11 yards. So him and Richardson both averaged 11 yards per carry.
I'll say this.
It's wild.
I think this sounds like a jump to – like counting, I don't know. It sounds like a very presumptuous statement, but I think Trevor Ntien may go down as one of the better, if not the best, Florida running back in a long time, maybe in a longer time. Like, the dude is that good. As a true freshman, he is very, very good. Like, I don't know. I can't, it doesn't equate to Percy because Percy wasn't technically a running back, although Percy to this day is, in my opinion, the best football player to ever play at University of Florida. I'm not saying he's that level. Maybe he is, but he's a running back. So
Emmitt Smith played though. They're very similar.
Who?
Emmitt Smith now.
I know, but careful now. But people remember Emmitt.
For his
NFL. He wasn't bad at Florida by any stretch. He was great. But he wasn't.
He wasn't as good as he was.
He wasn't as good as Percy Harvin. Percy Harvin was out of this world good.
What was the other one that they had at Florida that was very similar? He's after Percy by a couple
Kadarius?
Of years.
Tony?
No, that's last. You're not talking in the last couple years.
No, like right after Percy, there was another little back like that.
Jeff Dempsey, Chris Rainey.
Dempsey maybe.
Dempsey and Rainey were there at the
Rainey
same time.
Was wild.
Fact. Rainey
he
had
reminds
that,
me of, it,
that
he
running
reminds
cut.
Me of that type of player. They all just had
that. Oh, man. That was a 3rd and 5 versus Texas A&M that we gave the ball to. I had to show it to you. We gave the ball to ETN. And if you paused it, you're like, not only is he not getting 5 yards, he's not getting nothing. And he made two cuts that were like, he reminded me a little bit of like, I don't know, it's tough. He's not as fast through the hole as his brother. Like sometimes his brother just hits the hole and he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how Le'Veon Bell had a really patient running style that like
him and Chris Johnson both, yeah.
And would have that 1 foot cut that
Kamara
would just like
does that type
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, he's just man, he's really good. He's
real shifty.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway,
Georgia's running back had a play like that where he put his foot in the ground in the middle of a line that looked like there was nothing, but I mean, it looked like I would have had to turn my body sideways to get through it, and he shoots for 15, but that reminded me a lot of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So all that to say is a good win for Florida. I think it was you can build off of it. They have
they got a good chance to win 8 games now.
8-4, like I told y'all before the season, 8-4. I don't know if I use the word miracle, but I would have felt like it. I don't want to say miracle because 8-4 is still 8-4, but it would have been, I thought that was the realistic ceiling for Napier's first year. And we're on track to do that, you know, probably looking, FSU's the hardest game.
Mm-hmm.
We should beat South Carolina. We
South Carolina at home at Vandy. That should be a sure thing. And then at Florida State.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm happy. I could talk more, but there's a lot more. College football's got a lot more going on right now than a Florida Texas A&M game. But I do think it was a positive step in the direction of where Florida fans want the program to go. And I think, it was good to see.
A&M on the flip side, though, they've still got to play at Auburn and at home against LSU. I mean, they could legitimately only win 4 games.
And I don't know how that's possible. Like the I will say this.
I mean, not granted, they may win 6, but I don't see it happening.
A-Chain may be one of the better players I've seen on a bad team in a long time. Like I saw somebody tweet this weekend. It was like, he's one of those, like, he deserves more type guys, you know, like he is
hitting that transfer.
He's elite. I don't know. I need to check. I don't know if he's a senior or not, but dude, he's good. He scored all 3 touchdowns for Florida against Florida.
Even if he's a junior, he could, or if he's third year, he could go to the draft.
I think he scored.
How much money is that guy getting from Texas A&M?
Yeah, that's true.
That's
so Devin A-Chain.
Portal, what's out there?
Yeah.
And I don't know how that works. Yep. I have no idea how this works with the NIL. Do you sign 1-year deals?
I know. That's the thing. I don't know either. I can't answer that question, but I know what you're saying. Like,
if I get sponsored by Joe's Pool Hall down here in Knoxville for $1 million, and they're expecting me to be there 3 years,
it's got to be contingent upon. You have to be paid
per year,
the academic year. Or per the scholastic year, whatever.
Yeah, even if you signed a contract for, you know, X amount of dollars, I'm sure it's broken down into year by year, and so that if you leave, you don't have to pay that.
You'd have to be one silly businessman to be like, here's 10 grand, or here's $5 million. Like, you know, Miami's in the news for this. Like, here's $5 million now. I'm just assuming you're not going to transfer. Like, first of all, you don't know if that $5 million is a good deal or a bad deal, because you don't know what that kid's going to do. Second of all, you really think he's going to be like, this is, they could transfer for getting looked at wrong nowadays. So,
but surely it's got to be. That money's risk too, but when they show up on campus.
It is risk.
Who knows?
But surely these guys are writing something into contracts saying, like, this is contingent upon not your performance necessarily, but just you being of a player on the university of whatever football team, you know?
On top of that, there's a lot of factors. What if a kid's ineligible because of grades after the first semester? Does he still get paid, or do you have to be playing on the field? I mean, there's a lot involved in college football now that wasn't 5 years ago, that's for sure.
So A-Chain
was under the table, I guess.
Did score all. So he's gone. He's a junior, which means he'll go to the league, which is good for him because he's good. Man, I went away from that game thinking that was one of the better players, if not the best. See, I'm trying to think. Like, individual players. I know Tennessee's a better team, but, like, individual players, running backs, let's just say. I think that's probably the best running back Florida's played all year. I can't think of a better one. Anyway, so he's good. Let's move on to Alabama LSU. Did not expect that.
No.
Did not expect
that. That was a heck of a game. After getting beat, at least it gave me something fun to watch that evening. Kind of took my mind off of the loss.
Yeah, I got home from watching the Tennessee game and was kind of watching the Alabama LSU on my phone later. And I was like, well, I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss the end. And then next thing I see, Bama makes the field goal on my phone. And I'm like 2 minutes away. So I got to watch all of the overtime.
It was crazy.
Did you think that Kelly was going to go for it?
As soon as they scored, I told my wife, I said, they got to go for 2. And sure enough,
at that point, you got nothing to lose. I mean, I guess you got the game to lose.
If you're Brian Kelly in that spot, though,
you got
you even if it doesn't, if you don't get it, the court of opinion is on your side.
Yeah.
Like you, I'd have done the same thing, you know.
House money.
Yeah.
House
yeah. money. And listen, I don't like him. I don't not like him. I'm just never, I guess if I don't want, anyway.
Yeah.
I guess it, by default, I may not like him. But
I don't think anybody outside of the team that he
can. Yeah, I don't dislike. I'm just like, you know, it is what it is. I like LSU more, like with yeah. Coach O more than I did with Brian Kelly. But, all right, so.
There's no arguing. He's a dang good football
he's good.
Coach.
He's good. But, you know, part of LSU's problem was sustainability, I guess. It's like, I still think to this day that 2019 LSU team's the best single-season football team I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, beating Alabama, they beat Alabama that year. It's can the program have the foundation that's repeatable from year to year to year? You know, those things, that thing. So, like, yes, this is a step in that direction, but it's not like they've checkmarked the box fully, right. You know?
Well, I mean, that's one of the, if not the hottest of beds for recruiting.
Oh, yeah,
I
and mean, he walked into – and Coach O recruited it perfectly. Yeah. Like, he had top five, top ten classes every year.
Right.
So it's not like Kelly walked into a bad – like, he had a full cupboard. So
I think the big difference as I think about LSU over the years, I mean, they've always had crazy good talent. But when you look at their really last few coaches, I feel like where they lacked was discipline.
Yeah, discipline.
So, like, if you can bring – like, because when you think about, like, a Nick Saban who's – or a Kirby Smart who has really – kind of an established elite program, you know that their teams, well, I mean, Alabama this year has you know, not been normal, but typical standard for them is a very disciplined football
I still think
team.
Your point stands, though.
And so, like, if LSU can come in, if Brian Kelly is that guy who can come in and still, you know, have that kind of talent that LSU always has and be able to kind of rein in some accountability and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I you know, that could be really what LSU needed. I mean, they've always got players, they've always got talent. Where they've lacked is really at what I, you know, is the discipline side of the ball. So maybe he is the guy who can do that. And he makes him kind of a like everybody feels like he's kind of a douchey guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like just, but maybe he's just a no nonsense dude. People say that about Saban too, yeah. You know, like, if you can go in and demand respect from those players and coach them up, and you know, that may have been the guy that they needed.
Yeah. I mean, the way a guy like that walks into that program, like you said, it's established, and it's not a guy that's got to go in there and recruit from, you know, from the bottom and, mm-hmm. and build up his program. He walks in there and commands that respect from what he's done in the mm-hmm. past. His reputation precedes him, so he's ahead of the game already. Even from a Josh Heupel standpoint, he's probably 2 years ahead of where Heupel would be just because his name when he walks in there.
Mm-hmm.
Now add that into what is one of the hottest of beds.
Yeah,
of
and mostly what he's walking into is the reason he's ahead. But he's not too far ahead. Look at the game where they played each other, you know?
But he doesn't have to go in there and prove anything to his players.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I definitely see that.
Those guys say, okay, this guy's done it before. He's been there.
Yeah, but then part of me is like, this guy's done it. Okay, what has he done?
Right.
Well, he had Notre Dame consistently good. Every time they played Alabama, they got smoked. But now you give him LSU's guys, to your point. Now it's like, okay, now you're in a gunfight with guns.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not saying he's as good as Coach Nick Saban at all. I'm just saying there's an angle that to look at this would be like, well, he's went into a fight with Nick Saban with a little pea shooter for three or 4 years. But the thing is, Notre Dame recruited in the top five in the country consistently, or top 10. So it wasn't it's like he didn't have guys, but it is different. And so I'm like, I get that. Now, you know, am I happy about it? I don't know. I don't know that I really, like, we sell a lot of LSU stuff too, so I'm not, I think we probably sell, we would, if LSU won for something, I know they can't, but if they did win a national championship, we'd probably sell a ton of it.
As a Tennessee fan, it was good for us, I feel like, because I think Alabama has the best chance of beating Georgia in the SEC championship. And we, as a Tennessee fan, we really need Georgia to win the SEC, to win out, so that our only loss is to Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Hypothetically speaking, is LSU completely out of the mix?
of getting into the playoffs?
Mathematically, or like, is there a scenario?
I mean, because they're a top 10 team
yes.
now, right?
They're well, seven.
Once they're well, that was before. We don't know what
seven
they are
now.
Yeah, yeah, but they were 10 in the playoff rankings mm-hmm. before, so we don't know what they are until those come out. However, if the fact that they were a two loss at number 10 tells me there is a scenario. Now, does other things have to happen? Absolutely.
They
but
have to beat Georgia,
I don't know of any other two loss team. There's no there's no two loss team that has a sliver of the mathematical yeah. path to a playoff like LSU does.
I tell you that when I was thinking about them, I thought, well, them beating Alabama just put two teams out of the running for, you know, having an SEC chance or having a chance of being in the playoff, but it really doesn't. It almost makes it to where LSU could win the SEC championship, be a two loss team, and they may have the best argument in America.
Their argument is not the argument takes a hit whenever you look at they lost a
Florida
State team, mediocre at best, and they got their brains kicked in by Tennessee at home. Now, the Florida State game was the first game of the season. You know,
they lost by 1 point, an extra point.
They've clearly gotten a lot better since the Tennessee game. I don't know. I'm not saying I believe either side. I'm just like trying to. Other games, Arkansas lost to Liberty. That was kind of surprising. And then the other part of me was like, well, Liberty was even ranked. Arkansas wasn't ranked, so. I don't know. It's been a little bit of a dip in excitement for Arkansas fans the past couple weeks. Yeah, I know that was – they also lost to Texas A&M. That was what we were talking about earlier, though. That was kind of a controversial ending or whatever. So, Mississippi State, Auburn. Well, Mississippi State was blowing them out. Then Auburn comes back and puts it into overtime. So, that could have been a really bad loss for Mississippi State. Turns out it wasn't, but
makes me think there's a good chance that Auburn may play with Texas A&M too and give them another loss.
Yes. Well,
Auburn seems to be playing bad.
At Auburn. Was that game at Auburn or Mississippi State?
At Mississippi State.
Yeah, see, this is going to be at Auburn.
And then
could be.
Yeah.
South Carolina 38, Vandy 27. So nothing really significant of note on those games other than I think
Heard them Beamer gave up 27 to Vanderbilt.
To Vandy.
Yeah.
I'm interested in seeing what LSU does the rest of the way. I haven't quite jumped on, like, you can look at the past couple games and view LSU in a certain light, and that is like a really, really good team. I don't know that I'm there yet. I'll need to see more than just a couple games of being at a higher level. The reason I mention that is because when I look at the rest of LSU's schedule, I could see some possible. There's a couple, maybe, you know, I wouldn't be totally shocked if, you know, Texas A&M was to give them a game. You know, they get a bunch of guys back. Texas A&M gave Ole Miss a really good game when they had that backup quarterback that what once was a backup quarterback, then they switched him out. Then he got the flu, so he didn't play in the Florida game. But they seem to have found something with him.
I think it just comes down to Jaden Daniels. Like, I feel like he's played the last 2 or 3 weeks, he's played really well.
Mm-hmm.
And
starting the Florida game.
Yeah, Florida, he played well. Ole Miss, he played well. And Bama. I mean, those are three solid opponents that he's played well. Obviously, he had a rough game against us, and that was coming off of a game where I thought he played terrible against Auburn. They won, but that was like, I remember watching that game and be like, neither one of these teams deserves to win. It was just a matter of who could get out of their own way in the end, and LSU pulled that out. So,
Tennessee LSU game may be the game that confuses me more than any game all year long. It just doesn't make sense. If you go back and look at it, you think that should have been a great game, and Tennessee just had everything go their way. That's what we talked about a few weeks ago. Like, you just can't take one game and make that, you know, what you base everything off of, because that game was such a blowout. I don't even think we realized how good LSU was at that time.
Yeah.
I don't think they were all
the potential to be, I guess.
So I think that's going to be a good resume win for Tennessee. But if I'm looking at LSU, I think some things switched with them during that Florida game, and they can thank us for that. We made Jaden Daniels look like a freaking Heisman winner. Like, no lie. He looked like, if you wouldn't have told me that he wasn't that good going into that game, I'd have never believed you, because he looked amazing. So it was almost so significant of a switch pre-Florida game and post-Florida game. Like, I think that's a different team now. Now, do I think if they would win if they played Tennessee again? Heck no. But that's why I say I'm not totally on board. But I do think they have played way better post-Florida game. That pisses me off.
I'm sure you dealt with it. You guys dealt with this in sports. And, like, when you go from a JV level to varsity level, everything moves so fast. You mm-hmm. know, like that, when you first get there.
Yeah.
And that's the way it was for me from high school to college. Any step up, everything just moves so fast. And I think it takes maybe one of those games where you just get – where everything kind of starts clicking mm-hmm. for you.
Well, you got to – so,
it's
yeah.
It's like he's found that confidence or that – just, I can play at this
yeah,
level.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. It's like, for me, it was like whenever you played a step up in competition, at first it was kind of overwhelming a little mm-hmm. bit. Like, oh, no, this is different.
You're right.
Like, guys are bigger, stronger, faster. I used to play games where I was the fast one.
Mm-hmm.
Now I play games where I'm the little one and the slow one. This is different. And, like, you almost have to prove to yourself that you can play with these guys.
Right.
And at first you're like, I don't know if I belong here. And then, you know, you're a competitor and you make a couple plays and you're like, okay, maybe I do. And that's, I would agree. Like, he has to, you know, kind of prove to himself that, like, hey, things move a little differently from Arizona State to the SEC.
Right. So. And with anything, whether it's basketball or whatever, when you're catching it ready to shoot and you have that confidence mm-hmm. that I'm going to make it, not what should I do when I get it,
mm-hmm.
I think that's where he's at. And I think that's the jump we've seen even on the course of this season for him as a player.
Yeah.
He just seems like a complete different guy to me.
And Butte is kind of, I don't know, moved past whatever issues he had beginning of the season. I heard he became a dad. So he, you know, the Florida State game, everyone's like, well, this is why he's volatile, you know. And now we're like, well, this is why he's one of the best receivers in the country. So
yeah.
He's good. All right, moving forward. So the path for Tennessee in the playoff clearly is everybody who's undefeated to lose. And then people to lose
except for
even
Georgia,
more.
That doesn't really
matter. Yeah, Georgia doesn't matter. Honestly, they just need one spot.
Georgia, we need Georgia to win and everybody else
yeah.
to lose.
Yeah. Yeah. The path doesn't, for the most part, I mean, maybe even mathematically speaking, but for the most part, there is no path that involves Tennessee going through the SEC championship game. It'll have to be to the playoffs without being in the SEC championship game, which means it gets a little dicey, like we mentioned earlier, with a team like Oregon. You know, that could be problematic if Oregon was to win the Pac-12 with only one loss.
And this is why it was so important when the first college football playoff
that
polls
one.
That they were won, because that's further to fall.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, we'll see. Like, with the Ohio State, Michigan, clearly one of them's going to lose, so let's just go ahead and assume one of those teams is going to be in the playoffs and should be if they're undefeated.
Mm-hmm. Georgia.
Then you'll have Georgia. And then we're talking, I think Clemson's out of it. Well, let's put
this. As bad as they lost, I think.
As bad as they lost. Let me make sure that's true, though. Playoff talk isn't what you think. It's not my opinion. This isn't my opinion. This is like, if I'm trying to, ultimately, the playoff people are who are going to decide this. I'm just trying to, like, think of all the scenarios that they would put into place. But, like, a Clemson
ACC
champion
yeah.
with one loss, do they get in over Tennessee? I know that I don't – should they? Yes. That's not even – to me, yes. Should they? Obviously.
Should what?
Should Tennessee – yeah, I guess I should rephrase that. Tennessee should make it over a one-loss Clemson ACC champion, even if Tennessee is not, because you look at their resumes, you look at what they've done, you look at the lot, all that. But they're not going to ask me. At least I don't think they'll ask me.
But that's why I say it was important that they were won, because obviously they had a lot of votes to be won. And it, as like we all know it, maybe I'm going to try to forget about it, how bad we looked against Georgia. And like I said, it wasn't a 14-point game, but at the end of the day, it was a 14-point game. And that, mm-hmm. in reality, is it was a 14-point game. So
the further away we get from that game, the more people will only remember it's a 14-point game. They won't remember that, like, oh, that was a blowout, you know? Hopefully.
That's what I'm saying. It's so important how we play these next three games, too. We need to win and win convincingly.
And but. At the end, and we also have to take into account the big wins, we've got it. And our losses are to the number one team in the nation. So we've got the best resume. I don't think that's arguable. I mean, as far as what we've done on paper.
It's just a matter of not being in your conference.
Of one lost teams, you mean?
Yeah. Of one lost teams, yeah.
Not being able to play for your conference championship is the kicker. But, yeah, I think you've got Georgia in, assuming they went out, which is what we're hoping and thinking will probably happen.
Yeah.
And then either Ohio State or Michigan is getting in. And one of those teams will have one loss and won't get to play for their conference championship either. So they're in the same boat as us. Outside of that, you really need TCU to lose.
Yeah.
Because if they get in, to your point, Tyler, I think if Oregon wins out and wins their conference championship, I think they'll get in. But if they do that and TCU loses, I think we can still sneak in that way. Because then you would have Georgia.
We need TCU to lose.
You'd have Georgia, Ohio State, or Michigan, and Oregon getting in and still having one spot.
I've got TCU's schedule put up. They play at Texas this week.
That's their big chance for a loss, really.
They play at Baylor and versus Iowa State. So Baylor is 6-3, 4-2 in conference.
But then they would have a conference championship game too. Like they would have to win. I don't know who they, you know, which side of the brackets
that would
and
be
all that.
That would be against.
No, Oklahoma ain't going to make it.
Oklahoma State?
Well, Oklahoma State got big. No, it'd be against Kansas. Is Kansas not up there now?
No, Kansas, I think Oklahoma State is.
Kansas beat Oklahoma State.
Oh, really? Kansas is 5-1. No, wait. Yeah.
I think Kansas is in the top of the.
Okay. When you get SEC guys together to talk about the Big 12 rankings, and you're like, are they even in the Big 12? Yeah. Kansas? Where is Kansas?
They play Nebraska this year?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Kansas,
Missouri. They were in there when we went down.
Kansas
They're
lost
down there somewhere.
Three straight, but beat Oklahoma State this weekend.
Yeah, I think Oklahoma State's lost two or three in a row now. Yeah. So they were ranked in the top 10, and then They got beat by Kansas State like 40 something to nothing.
Yeah, it was a massacre.
They're 6-3. Oklahoma State
but Kansas is 5-1. You said. So they
Kansas is 6-3.
6-3 in the conference. I mean
3-3 in the conference.
No, well, never mind. I thought they
the 5-1 I referenced was when they played TCU.
So do you have their conference standings pulled up?
No, I just have both of their schedules. I can bring up their conference standings, but I don't even know which side.
Yeah.
Of the or like which side, you know. God, you. We're idiots.
Yeah, we don't know anything. Well,
this is mainly SEC.
Why would we learn? Yeah, why would we learn about the Big 12 when it's collapsing?
I can tell you who all sells well for us for them, but Big 12
and it's the Big 10.
No, it says Big 12. Big 10 is a
Big 12 says Tulane is leading UCF Cincinnati.
We have no idea what we're talking about outside of the SEC.
Hey, producer, can you cut this, please? Yeah. We need to get statistics
Big
in
10,
here.
Boys. Big 10.
If y'all are enjoying click the like button, by the way, if you really like
Big 10. Big 10 is
Big 10. The Ohio Big 10 State. East is Ohio State and Michigan.
Yeah, Big 10 East. I'm talking about Big 12. That's where Kansas is.
You're in the Big
12. Gotcha. I was thinking that we were, never mind.
Big 12. Yeah, Big 12's TCU's ahead, Baylor second, and I don't know that they have – at least what they have here don't have it split up.
Okay, so. Just all one.
Listen, we sell drinkware. I just want to remind everyone we're not a statistics like deep dive college football podcast. We know
we don't
the
know
SEC
anything about the Big 12.
I couldn't even point Kansas out on a map, boys. I don't know where it is. I don't care.
Well, they only have 10.
I just know it was in Joe Dirt. That's where Christopher Walken, the janitor was from. It's Kansas. He was really in witness protection, but whatever. So anyway, that's a path. I don't know how we got on that road, but Kansas.
All that to say, we need TCU to lose.
Is in the Big 12. That's what
we were trying to figure out who TCU would play in the in the championship if they were undefeated.
Yeah.
Southern Cal's 9.
But the big game for them is Texas this week, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. So you need them to lose because Texas don't have no shot. Texas
don't
is.
See how Oregon. I don't see. And I just.
They've gotten a lot better than.
I agree, but they don't. To me, what's their biggest win? Is it Utah?
I don't know.
Florida beat Utah.
Right? Did Oregon beat Utah?
I think that was their
one. I don't know that they had played. I didn't know that they had played them.
We're going to look.
Well, last year they got beat by Utah twice.
Check out the
where is Oregon? Pac-12. Is Oregon a state?
I don't. I think it's. I think it's up north.
That's where Bo Nix went. That's all, I do know that. No, they've gotten a lot better. I mean, I know that everyone remembers I mean, you thought Tennessee losing to Georgia was bad. Oregon losing to Georgia was so much worse.
40-something.
They beat
30.
UCLA. So that's a good win. And they beat. No, they haven't.
I think they beat.
They play Utah still.
Did they beat USC? I think they beat USC too.
To this, they have not played USC. They don't play USC.
They don't. Oh, okay. So they beat UCLA. They beat BYU. Oh, no, this is Oregon. They lost to Georgia.
That's
they play. Yeah, you're right. They play Utah in 2 weeks. And then so they got two more ranked games. Let's put it this way. You want Utah to win that game but Utah beat the brakes off of them twice last year. So this is a different coach. Cristobal coached them last year, but Oregon last year when they were good, Utah still beat them both times. So maybe, and I know there's different players, different coaches, but maybe that'll happen again. So anyway, all that rambling about stuff we don't know a lot about, that's just to say teams that need to lose. TCU needs to lose. Oregon needs to lose. Honestly, Southern Cal needs to lose too. Not two, but Oregon or Southern Cal will, I think, lose. Yeah. Well, here's another scenario I hadn't thought about. So I'm looking at Ole Miss at 8-1. Mm. If they win out, LSU's still in the SEC championship game.
No, that's not true.
If Ole Miss does.
If Ole Miss wins out, they only have one loss.
Yeah, but LSU only has one loss in the SEC.
That's true. Yeah.
So LSU's still in the SEC championship game.
You're assuming Ole Miss and LSU both win out.
Yes, because they've already played each other, and that can happen because they don't play each other anymore. Ole Miss and Tennessee both sitting on the outside of the SEC championship game with one loss. Hmm. Little predicament, huh?
I think Bama's going to beat Ole Miss this week, but...
Yes, but, you know, this is just theory.
This is hypothetical. It could happen.
Now,
since you mentioned that, I am going to go over to the SEC page and screenshot where Alabama will be third in the West right now, because I don't think I've seen that in a long time.
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way also. Ole Miss, for one, I think is going to get beat by Alabama this weekend. But for two, doesn't have the resume that Tennessee will have. If they're both sitting outside the SEC championship game with one loss, Tennessee's got a better resume. If we're looking at possible playoff scenarios, I don't think Ole Miss is at the level where we should be talking about, or at least talking about that too much. But you never know. You know, Alabama's volatile, and now they just kind of got, per Alabama standards, their season is done.
Yeah.
So...
That was kind of wild to listen to Saban in a press conference talking about. Now it's about pride and getting to that 10-win number, and it was.
Yeah.
Like, how many times in his career at Alabama has he had that conversation this early?
Two losses before the SEC championship game. Yeah. All right, so this weekend, Missouri at Tennessee. That's going to be a blowout. Looks like Tennessee is favored by 21. Sounds about right. Tennessee, to your point earlier, Clark, though, Tennessee just needs to bring it. Like,
yeah.
they need to play these games like they're all Georgia, like they're all for all the marbles, because in a way that they are. They can't snooze through them. They need to be impressive. They need to make everybody look at the shiny Tennessee team, because that needs to get them back catapulted.
Yeah, you got 3 weeks to really impress people against teams that you have the opportunity to impress against. You know, like, these teams are all teams we should beat pretty bad, and you can make yourselves look good by beating them real bad.
Yeah.
I mean, and because you can slip up. I mean, Georgia barely beat this Missouri team. And so if we can turn around and beat that Missouri team by 30,
mm-hmm.
That looks good.
Yeah, when we need to pull every line that comes out. I mean, we got to cover every single line that.
Yeah.
If it's 21, we need to win by 24 and yeah. one of them. You know, leave no doubt or an eye test part of it.
Either. Exactly.
LSU at Arkansas. I actually think LSU's. You know.
LSU's got a tough.
This could be a little bit of a letdown game. Mm-hmm. That takes a lot. You know, at night, Alabama, all the emotion, all the excitement, all the partying the next day, maybe. Like, most people look at this and be like, oh, letdown game. So, this, maybe in years past, where, like, to your point, maybe a little more undisciplined team, a less professional team can maybe not bring their best a noon game versus Arkansas the very next week after Alabama. This is where I think Brian Kelly's professionalism will maybe show its head a little bit. Like, hey, forget about it. On to the next one. No, we're not celebrating nothing. Like, we got to beat Arkansas by 20. So we'll see. That could be a slip-up game, though. Vandy at Kentucky, probably not a primetime matchup there at noon.
Who cares?
Alabama at Ole Miss. Man, CBS is not thrilled that Alabama lost that game.
Yeah.
What did you say it is?
Alabama at Ole Miss at the CBS game,
3:30. 3:30, okay.
I think that may be an absolute beatdown right there. If Alabama comes out mad.
Yeah. Yeah, but I also thought that, like.
That's true. Yeah. I thought LSU would
be. Alabama surprised me a couple times this year. I think. I don't know what the issue is. You know, I know. Let's put it this way. Don't count me into the people that's like, well, this is it. Saban's going downhill. And still Saban quits, he's not going downhill. I'll never believe it. Now, you can have bad seasons. You know, maybe they don't have as much talent on the outside right now. But, no, do not ever associate me with someone thinking that this is the end of
a dynasty.
Yeah, he could have a bad season here while he sits with two losses. I mean, at worst, he's probably going to have three losses, and this is a terrible season for him. Mm-hmm. So he ain't done.
South Carolina at Florida is a 4 o'clock game on ESPN Network. Florida's favored by 8. Like I've said before, this second half of Florida's season, or the last third, I think is the make or break time for them. Starting with that A&M game, I thought was really important. They checked that box off. I think it's important that they go out, have a good showing versus South Carolina, because honestly, if they end up 8-4, which is a very real possibility. I'm going to be thrilled to death with the season, and I'll be happy, and they're in a position to do so.
I think a 7-5 is a fantastic, like, still
first season.
Who would they, 7-5. They lost to, like, Florida State?
Yeah. If they lost to Florida State, but I mean, I don't think they will. But there again, Florida State did beat LSU.
And then, if they get to 8-4, they'll get a good bowl game, too, and have a chance to play a solid opponent, and if they could get that win.
Yeah, and you got to think of what's 8-4, what? Who'd you beat? Who'd you lose to? Well, you lost to four top 10 teams at the time. I know I don't usually do that, but you lost to three top 10 teams.
Mm.
Who was the third one? Oh, yeah, LSU. They all played close except Georgia. And the fourth team you lost to was actually top 20 at the time, and it was the second game of Billy Napier's tenure. So, like, you didn't lose to any unranked teams. You didn't get blown out except for Georgia, and even then there were some decent spots of it. So, like, it's not a 8-4 with losses to, you know, Tulane and, you know, all those teams.
Don't disrespect the Green Wave. They're ranked.
Respectable 8-4 if that's where you get. Now, just like I wanted Florida to beat A&M and Jimbo, I kind of want that to happen again this week with South Carolina, but we'll see. South Carolina beat the brakes off of them last year, but that was a Florida team that Florida staff, I guess, or program that was kind of throwing the towel, yeah. But anyway, it's going to be at Florida, so that'll be good. 4 o'clock game. Georgia at Mississippi State. That'll actually be, I don't know. I'll tune in. I don't know if it'll be all that competitive, but we'll see. I guess you could say letdown spot for Georgia, but like I said, Georgia's professional. I mean, I don't think they're going to be let down.
They're playing who'd you say?
Mississippi State.
Okay.
At Mississippi State, 7 o'clock ESPN game.
I mean, they'll be excited for that. I mean, opportunity, I guess, but
the biggest game yet. What? The biggest game yet to come here, though.
Texas A&M Auburn.
Texas A&M Auburn.
Why is that the biggest game?
I think it's the most intriguing game on the line.
But what implications can happen? So yeah, it is very intriguing. Nothing.
I don't think Jimbo fall apart.
Yeah,
that's possible.
Because the problem is they're not going to do anything, right. And Auburn has no coach, so they can't do anything.
Right.
So like, there's no real implication to it. But I agree. Like you think Texas A&M has kind of hit the floor a couple times, yeah. But then the floor, you're like, oh, maybe next week is the floor.
Yeah.
But and you're like, that's $90 million floor.
What if you lose to Auburn, who just fired their coach, who is awful?
Dude, losing to a team who just fired their coach is like, and your coach has been there for, like last year when Florida fired their coach and beat Florida State with no coach and Norvell had been there for a couple years. It was the best win. Like, it almost made me forget how bad we were. I was like, this is so good.
If you beat somebody after you fire your coach, that's
and their coach awesome. Has been there.
Yeah.
Like, their coach has a program established. Like, how much of a loser do you have to feel like?
Well, yeah, like, when your established coach loses to a guy that he had to figure out who he was at the pre-game handshake, it's like, well, okay, this is the guy, this is the end.
Yeah.
And then
who's their
you?
Coach? Yeah.
That's worth it right there.
I know. Like, we had a guy.
Plus, I just want to see them in money. I want them in money troubles just because of all the NIL stuff. I want to be like, well, you still got to pay $90 million to that moron.
Yeah, you can't buy your team.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I hear there's some people jumping ship down there, too.
Yeah. That's what I wonder about the NIL stuff is how many of those contracts are we going to hear? Well, he got the first year of it.
Mm-hmm. I guess they'll have that quarterback. I should probably know what that the name of that quarterback. But he had only played one game when he played Ole Miss, played versus Ole Miss. Connor Wiegman.
Mm-hmm.
Connor Wiegman, I guess. Freshman, 6'2", 215. He looked good in the Ole Miss game. So we'll see. I guess I'm assuming he's playing this week. God, dude, everybody's getting the flu. Everybody, not just Texas A&M, like everybody here, everybody pretty much everywhere. So, anyway, that concludes our health and wellness talk. Don't get the flu, kids. Do what?
Where'd this flu come from?
I don't know.
Was it a swine?
A bird?
China. Where's this one from?
Hey, at least we got the flu now.
Yeah.
At least the flu's back.
Yeah. Just like the good old days where everybody's getting the flu and puking their heads off for 4 days.
Bring back the flu. Get us back to normal.
Miss the flu, believe it or not.
All right. So we laid out the teams that Tennessee should root against. I think we'll close with this. Overall, though, like, you know, Tennessee still had an exceptional year. They're ahead of schedule. The year's not over by any stretch.
Exceptional?
Exceptional. Listen, I'm here making up words. You get smarter listening to this podcast. Exceptional?
Yeah.
Is that what I said?
Exceptional.
I don't know what you God. Said.
Hey, editor, edit that out. Take that out.
Hey, you didn't. I didn't even skip a beat. I was right with you, pal.
Yeah, he's like, dang, Tyler's smart.
Yeah,
hadn't heard that one.
Yeah, you had to hear the word last week.
Yeah,
sometimes they just run together.
And then I introduce you to that show that's 60 seconds long on ESPN or on SEC Network
for a whole hour.
Yeah,
it lasts an hour, but it's 60
what they do for the other 59 minutes. All right, well, we'll be back next week. Yeah, so appreciate everyone listening. See you next week.